Good morning.
You don't think I'm watching, eh? You don't think I'm watching. It is so good to have everyone here. Oh, yesterday was so good. It was so good. Yeah, Sam and Jordan, our very own. And they took flight yesterday. God was so, and I know God's always here. I get that. But God was so here, so rich, so thick yesterday. The wedding was fun. The wedding was rich. The wedding was full of God. It was just fantastic. And we are believing it's already happening this morning. God's in this room. Somebody say amen. God's right here. God's going to minister to you. God's going to minister to you. Just say that. Just put your hand on your chest. Just put your hand in your heart and say, God, you're going to minister to me. Yeah. Yeah. You are going to minister to me. We're starting a brand new series, but I did want to sort of tie a few rich things together. We were so incredibly privileged and honored to have Josh Fry and Landon Dortch with us a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, amen. And I think Rob already alluded to that. But I was struck by Josh's simplicity in sharing the rich theology of the new and living way. And stay with me. This is very, very cool. His simplicity of the theology that he taught of the new and living way and his message about becoming worshipers, that we are worshipers. We're going to be talking about that today. We're going to be talking about that through this whole series. Now, I understand I'm not amiss to this, but I am very, very aware that you say the word theology and people's eyes start rolling in the back of their head and glass starts to come over their eyes and fog starts to fill their midst. Theology, oh no, theology, this isn't a teaching on theology, is it? But I got good news for you. All it simply means is the explanation of what Jesus provided. Josh said it so well. And I just want to take a few more moments today, over the next number of weeks, that we could jump into this thing and we could experience the goodness of God. Hebrews is our text. The book of Hebrews is fantastic. If you've never read the book of Hebrews, jump in, enjoy. I remember I did actually a Bible college course exclusively dedicated to the book of Hebrews, and it was fantastic. And this was the one thing that Josh said over and over again through the seminar to the worship team, and also on that Sunday morning, he says, why do we try to sew back together the curtain that separated God from us when Jesus so beautifully tore it in half? Somebody say amen. Tammy, you alluded to that this morning. We didn't even prime you for that, and it was so good. Now, I'm very, very aware that some people would hear that and go, what are you talking about? What curtain? What tear? What God? What are you talking about? So now, let me just take a few minutes to explain this to you. I'm not even going to do it on a Good Friday. I'm not even going to do it on an Easter Sunday. I'm going to do it here in November because this is fantastic. Way, 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 way back thousands of years ago before Jesus came, you have to understand that humans, men and women, could not get into the presence of God. We take it so lightly now. It's so easy now. But you got to understand that this is brand new. It's only 2,000 years old. We couldn't. There was a barrier. Not permitted to be in God's presence. There was, and I've talked about this before, but it's so true. 4-inch thick curtain, almost the thickness of a 2x4. 4-inch thick curtain, 50 feet high, 40 feet wide, and it was right separating two rooms in the temple back thousands of years ago. And this represented that there was a block between God and man. There was an inner sanctum where God was, where God dwelt. Then there was the other outer sanctum where we, us poor lowly people, could go. There was only momentary access. The priests ceremonially killed animals, doves, bulls, goats. I like what Josh said, even maybe the odd goldfish was killed, sacrificed for us. Hallelujah. That's gross. It is gross. But let me explain something. Separation between us, separation between God and man, separation between God and people was not God's idea. Separation was never God's idea. God never wanted to be separated from us. He wanted rich fellowship with us all the time, just like it was in the garden. But sin brought that sin barrier, which was signified in some respects by the curtain, representing that there was a barrier that needed to be broken, smashed in half, so that we could now finally be with God. And I got good news, church. This is where I get happy. Preach myself happy. At the very moment Jesus died, the earth shook, and the curtain in that temple, you have to understand that, at the moment Jesus died, the curtain in his temple, in that temple, in God's temple, severed, ripped right in half from the top to the bottom. I love that, what Josh said, is because it represented that God did it, not us. From the top to the bottom, 50 feet. At that very moment, now, we could have access to God. Just like in the garden before Adam wrecked it. Thanks a lot, Adam. Thanks a lot, Eve. But before we hate Adam and Eve, we would have done the exact same thing. But you know what? Jesus is better than Adam and Eve. Jesus is better. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus is the new Adam. Jesus is the new Adam. Hallelujah! Now the potential, and I say that word importantly, the potential of no barrier between God and man was reestablished. And we can be free with God again. I put in here, highlighted, I put a circle around it, I put stars around it, the word with. We think freedom is freedom from God. No, we got it backwards. Freedom is freedom with God. With God. Free again to be with God, in union with God, in union with our Creator, in union with the great I Am. And I got good news. If you've taken Jesus, if it was yesterday or 10 years ago or 35 years ago or this morning, if you took Jesus, if you got a hold of Jesus, if you took the key of life, his name is Jesus, then you are separate from. The separation between God and man is broken. You can unlock that door between God and man. You can open that door and you can have access to God because of the key called Jesus. Master, please let us sink. Please let this sink into us. Please let us get a hold of this. Josh alluded to the book of Hebrews, and more specifically alluded to, I'm going to just give this a shot. Oh, please let it work, Lord. Hallelujah, it works. Hallelujah, it works. Okay, this is the only time I'm going to read the entire passage, so I need you to navigate with me as we read this together, and then we're going to take it section by section by section by section as the weeks go on. But this is huge, and this is exactly what Josh talked about a couple of weeks ago. I'm just bringing explanation. I'm just bringing fullness. Now, the writer of Hebrews wrote this, and he said, here's the good news. Here's the great thing that happened. Watch this. And so, dear brothers and sisters here at Emerge Church, we can boldly enter into heaven, the most holy place, because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened the new and living way through the curtain into the most holy place. He did it. And since we have this great high priest, listen to me, and since we have this great high priest who rules God's house, then there's four lettuce. That's what we're going to look at over the next 4 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks. Lettuce. I talked to Keelan about this, and I said, do we want to be totally tacky and say, like, bring in a bowl of lettuce or bring in a salad and say, now we're going to talk about lettuce? He said, no. And And then he came up with this very, very cool graphic about this, let us. So, since Jesus did everything, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere and full trusting hearts. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. And our body has been washed with pure water. Next one. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted. God can be trusted. Listen to me. God can be trusted. Let me say it again. God can be trusted to keep his promise. Number three, let us think of ways we can motivate, spur one another on to love and good works. Number four, let us not neglect the meeting together, as some have done, but let's encourage one another, especially the day of his return is drawing near. In other words, let's meet all the time because Jesus is coming back soon. Let me say that 12 more times. Let's meet all the time together because Jesus Christ is coming back soon. Jesus Christ is coming back soon. Now, let's begin. We're going to look at verses 19, 20, 21, and 22. We're going to take it section by section, an expositional study looking at these verses. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter into the most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened the door, new and living way, through the curtain. The curtain is now ripped in half. The curtain is now sliced in half. Now we have access into the most holy place. Again, Josh Fry was, other than him talking about having to go pee, other than that, the message was incredible. So if we were to summarize in a couple of sentences his 41-minute message, I'm going to do that right now. Two sentences summarizing 41 minutes. If you have let Jesus in your life, if you've taken Jesus, if you have Jesus in your life, then we don't have to feel far away from God anymore because Jesus fixed it. There it is. That's the whole summary. If you've got Jesus in your life, if you're born again, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, then you don't have to feel, and I'm using all these words specifically. Write this down. Put it in your phone. You don't have to feel far away from God anymore because Jesus fixed everything. Now, today's message. I love the word since. How many times is there a since, therefore? Since, therefore. Constantly the writers in the New Testament is, since this happened, therefore this is. Since you do this, therefore you do this. Since this happened, therefore do this. And it's no difference. Since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, verse 21, or could we say it so simply, since we now aren't separated from God because of what Jesus did. Christian, I'm talking to Christians right now. I'll talk to non-Christians in a moment. If you have Jesus, Christian, since we aren't separated from God anymore because of what Jesus did, then here it is. This is the whole message. Take it. This is the whole series. You have to come back every week to hear the whole series, though. You can't say, oh, he said it. I don't have to come back anymore. Therefore, now let's live like we aren't separated. Somebody say amen. Now let's live like we aren't separated from God anymore. And the writer of Hebrews has these four suggestions. We're going to look at the first one today. Number one. We're going to break it into three sections. We're going to go word by word, sentence by sentence. See, Jesus gave us the word. Jesus gave us the Bible. And he gave it to us as incredible instruction on how to live our lives. I need 15 more amens. Not good. Now, it's $20 you asked for, right, Ryan, for that glory? Okay, no. Okay, here it is. Let us go right into the presence of God. The NIV says, draw near. I like that. Draw near. Draw near to God. Let's get close to the one who is close. I came up with that all by myself this week. You can write that one down. Get close to the one who is close. Now, years and years ago, I heard this story, but it's a story of many, many years ago. And back in the olden days, back in 1957, 1963, you know, your parents or grandparents or great-grandparents, they talked about their 57 two-door hardtop, or they talked about their 61 Chevy Impala with a this and that, and they were just absolutely enamored by their car. And back in the old days, there was a bench in the front, and there was bench in the back. There was no console, no gadgets, not they had a radio, AM radio.
What's AM?
And the story goes that there's this old couple named Harold and Wilma, and they're in the back, they're driving along, and they see a car in front of them, and the cars were very wide back there. It's like 7 feet apart. So he's driving, Harold's driving, and Wilma, she's way over on the other side, and she's knitting or something, because this is before airbags, this is before seatbelts. She's knitting or something. And she looks up, and she sees up front, in front of them in another car, and this young couple, Sam and Jordan, and they're cuddling, driving. See, no seatbelts, no rules. You can just kind of cuddle, and Jordan's right over, snuggled into Sam. And he's driving, and he's got his arms around Jordan, and they're having a good time. And then Wilma says, Harold! Harold! You see them up there? You see how close they are? Whatever happened to us? And Harold says, who moved? Who moved? Come on. Christian, follower of Christ, if you're not feeling close to God right now, who moved? You can take that one to the bank. That's worth the whole price of admission right there. Who moved? Who moved? In fact, you know why? I like it so much. I haven't put it there. Who moved? It's a proximity thing, isn't it? Proximity, location. We think it's location. See, religion talks about location. I'm here, God's there. Remember we said we can be, and Josh said, we can be close to God. There's not this separation. It's not we're down here, worm as I, and God's up there, and he will look down at me and not squish me if I'm trying my best. But this proximity thing that we get in our heads, you'll hear people say, oh, I'm not in a good place. Or someone, we'll talk about someone else. Not gossip, though, but we'll talk about someone else. And we'll say, oh, they're not in a good place. They're in a bad place right now. That's our new word, right? In a bad place. Well, I got good news, and I got good counsel. Then get out of that place.
It's not that simple.
Yeah, it is. Draw near. Draw near. Draw near. Stay with me. Before you turn me off, just stay with me. It's getting gooder and gooder and gooder. See, it's not about a proximity. It's not about a location. It's an attitude of the heart. It's either being with God or trying not to be with God. That's basically the only delineation there is in life. That's the only delineation there is in the universe. It's being with God or trying not to be with God. Like you can run from God. It's like, you know, I know it's human, but to think of God looking at the earth and he looks down and he sees us and we're doing this and that and we're doing this, doing that, going here, going there, doing our own thing, and he's looking down, oh dear, oh dear, as if we can run from God. Josh again said it so well. If I go to the heavens, he's there. If I go to the depths, if I go to Sheol, if I go to hell, he's there. If I go to Cuba, Mexico, if I go to, well, that would be a good idea. If I go to, go anywhere, if I'm going to go anywhere, God's there. But I got good news. He's not there to spank. He's not there to sternly talk to you. He's right there to love on you. He's right there to give you hugs and kisses. I'm a touchy-feely guy. You got to bear with me. You non-touchy-feely type are like, are you done yet? He's right there just to love on you. He's in close location. He's right there. He's right there. Okay. This one here, this is the whole message right here. Now, everyone in this room, everyone in this room wants to be close to those we love. Jackie was talking about that the other day. She says, you know what, Christmas, I don't think so. Christmas, I'm going to be with my family. I'm going to be with ones I love. I'm not going off without my family at Christmas. I'm going to be with my family at Christmas. They're not in here, so I can say it. We travel, we go on vacation, and half our conversation, Tammy's conversation, hers and mine together, half our conversation is, oh, wouldn't Nevaeh like this? Oh, wouldn't Taven enjoy this? Can't get them out of our heads. We want to be with those we love. Somebody say amen. Come on. Thank you.
I guess, is that the right answer? Yeah.
Okay, wait for this. Wait for it. Here's the deal breaker right here. Here's the game changer. You ready for it? Ready? Or more accurately, we want to be with those who love us. In the same way, when we know Jesus loves us, we want to be with him. If we know he loves us in reference to God, when we know he loves us, we want to draw near. And that, my friend, makes us a worshiper. A worshiper. The charismatics especially, we've got these words. Well, let's have praise and worship now. Let's just open our hearts and have praise and worship. Okay, let's do praise and worship. I got good news and I got great news. What happens from 10:30 to 11:03 is not worship. Oxygen just left the room.
Well, you always say that it's time to worship.
What it is, it's the entire family or a good percentage of the family of God coming together to worship Jesus with music. Okay? See the difference? But it's not about worship. It's about being a worshiper, being one to adore him. Now, this gets really good. And I'm not going to have time to finish my message, but that's okay. It's way cool. I want to land here for a moment. Get this. Josh would be proud of me that I'd be talking like this. This is the sentiment. This is exactly where Josh and Landon landed a couple of weeks ago in the conference, in the seminar. We can enjoy Jesus anywhere, anytime. In fact, when we create a lifestyle of enjoying and adoring him all the time, when we create a lifestyle of enjoying and adoring him all the time, then Sunday morning from 10:30 to 11:03 is really, really cool.
I know what you're thinking.
In fact, it can be so cool, gosh, we might even go to 11:06. We might even go to 11:22. And Kate's like, yes, that's right, yes, go, go. In fact, if we were lost in enjoying Jesus, I always find that interesting. We talk about being lost in worship. No, it's not being lost in worship. Actually, it's being found in worship. See, if we come primed, if we come with our lips full of praise, if we come, we've read the Bible, we're filled, and we come, and you know what? We're lighting it up the moment we get here. Then you know what? It's a lot easier for the worship team. Not cranking it up for 20 minutes. Come on, come on, be louder, be jump higher. Oh, no, that's me. Okay, sorry. But be right in his presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and his courts with praise. Come right into his presence. See, that's what the Bible says. Come right into his presence with thanksgiving in our heart and with our courts with praise. We are worshipers. It simply means that we are appreciators. It simply means that we are gratefulers. It simply means that we're happy, joy-filled, celebrating people, thankful for what he's done. Hebrews 13:15. It says, by him, Jesus, let us offer sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Now, let me just say something right here. I felt the Lord kind of nudge me earlier today, and I just want to share this. First of all, fruit of the lips. What do you mean by fruit of the lips? Does that mean you put on fruit lip gloss? I'm putting on cherry lip gloss today, the fruit of my lips. No. What is the fruit of the lips? It is speaking what's in the heart, the fruit of the lips. In other words, it's speaking out what's in our heart. If we're speaking out what's in our heart, if it's thanksgiving and praise and adoration and goodness, then we're not complaining, not arguing, not gossiping. Someone say, ouch. Okay, I'm going to let you in another secret. I'm going to talk about this in about 3 weeks, but I'm going to touch on it today. So we think this is a personality thing. I need everyone to hear this. It's not a personality thing. It's not a personality thing.
Well, Todd's just like that.
Yeah, I'm loud. I'm high sprung. But I love Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. I'm a spirited man. I'm an outgoing man. I'm an excitable man. Listen. But before I discovered he adored me, I left my excitability at the door. I came into church and I was a lump. Separation. See, I hadn't come to the idea that I can give him me. I can be me with him. I can be me with him. Somebody say that's really cool. And it's not just personality. It's quietly, gently, loud, soft, burst inside with gratitude and thanksgiving. Well, the reason Todd's jumping around in worship is because he had a great week. I had a terrible week. So I'm going to come in here and just be grumpy lumpy because he doesn't know the week I had. And he's always got a good week. And he's always happy because everything goes his way. I had sucky weeks. I get horrible weeks. But you know what? I come in this place, I break in here, and I give a sacrifice of praise. If I had a horrible week, that means I'm going to yell louder. I'm going to celebrate more. I'm going to dance abundantly. I'm going to dance and worship and celebrate and praise myself happy. Come on, somebody say, 20 more people say amen. You know, it's not about your circumstances, just like Tammy alluded to. It's not what you're going through. It's a choice. It's a choice. Pastor's really yelling today. I don't like when he yells. A sacrifice of praise. See, it doesn't say, come because everything's going your way. Praise him because everything is going your way. It's a sacrifice of praise. Oh. Yes, you're going to do it through your personality, through the pipe of your personality. Of course you are. But you know what? High, strong, gentle, loud, quiet, outgoing, task-oriented, people-oriented, doesn't matter. It's still a sacrifice. I just thought of something. Got a revelation. Write this down. This is from Jesus. It says a sacrifice of praise. That means it's beyond your natural ability. It's beyond your natural personality. A sacrifice of praise, meaning over and above your natural way. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. Maybe we'll finish with this. Number two. Jump in, worship, draw near, get into God. Get into God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. This is all Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. This is Bible. With sincere hearts, fully trusting him. The NIV says, full assurance that faith brings. So come into God, draw close to God, jump into his presence with full assurance that faith and trust brings. Not because your day or your week or your month went great. It's full assurance that faith, that means faith is believing something that you can't see yet. Faith and trust is believing something you can't see yet. If you could see it, you don't need trust. If you can see it, if your week's going great and you just got a raise and your kids are amazing and your mother-in-law is fantastic, then you wouldn't need faith and trust because you could see it. Now, fully trust him. Am I the only one in the room, or at some time do we struggle with that line? Fully trust him. You're talking about surrendering everything. Fully trust. I like to fully trust me. Or am I the only one? I guess I'm the only one. I like to fully trust me. I like to be in control. I like to overfunction. That's right, Pastor, you do. I've noticed that about you. We all want to trust ourselves. See, that's the old nature rears its ugly head, and that's, I want to trust me. I don't want to trust him. I want to trust me. It takes courage to take off that old stinky, filthy rags of religion that says I'm in control, that I'm running my life. I'll let God come in with small little bits and pieces that I direct and then make sure it doesn't affect the way I run my life. I'll let God in a little bit. I surrender. I surrender all. I don't like that song. Sorry, Tammy. Really? I surrender all? Under my breath, I'll go some. I can't believe Pastor said that. Really? Like you can surrender all? First of all, you only can surrender up to the level you have revelation that you've got to surrender. So I'm not so foolish to say all. I could say all that I know of currently. Now, I'm going to close honest. I'm going to close with this. Worship team, come on back. Communion people, get ready.
I surrender all, faith and trust.
Amen. Amen. Please don't leave this place going, Pastor doesn't surrender everything. Would you don't do that? It's just transparency. It's just honesty. I got good news and I got bad news. Everyone in this room struggles with surrendering everything. Sorry. But we're asking Jesus for help. Now. Yeah, fully trusting him. Yeah. I got good news. This will help you trust him. This has helped me trust him. I'm going to let you in on a secret that you might have never realized ever before in your life. I've got good news. How many people like good news? It wasn't rhetorical. I want an answer. How many people want good news? Okay. The rest of you? Well, then just have stinky news. Good news. God is not like us. Who just said that? Oh, come on. Someone else say hallelujah. God is not like us. I got good news. God is not like us. I got great news. God is not like us. That's good news. You wouldn't like him like us. I wouldn't like him like me. I wouldn't like him like me. Now, I'm striving towards to become more like him, but I got good news. He's not like us. Now, see, when we're bad, then people's reaction to us is usually bad. Right? When we're bad, when we do something dumb, can I say stupid? Or that, I can't say stupid. When we do something really ridiculous, we expect people to treat us like we deserve. We expect people to treat us with anger, disdain, or disgust. And somehow, early on with our walk with God, we think God is like us, that when we're really bad, then in turn, he's going to be nasty. I got good news. He doesn't treat us that way. He's a good, good father. Listen to me. He's a good, good father. He doesn't treat us like we deserve. I got even Bible to prove it. Ryan, I got Bible to prove it. He doesn't respond in a way our sins deserve. Psalm 103:10. Somebody say amen. Write that one down. That's a keeper. Next one. When we are faithless, he remains faithful. Aren't you glad that he remains faithful when we're faithless? Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna leave it right there. Faithful. Communion commemorates a faithful God. Can you come, please? Communion, the Lord's Supper, commemorates, celebrates, remembers a great, faithful God.